In the first reading today, we hear about God appearing to King Solomon and giving him the opportunity to ask for anything that he wants. It's a great opportunity for each one of us to be able to think about that. If God were to somehow or another appear to you and say to you, ask for anything, what is it that you'd want more than anything? What are you going to say? What would you ask for? Is it going to be something selfish? Is it going to be something material? Is it going to be something spiritual? Is it going to be something that is going to help you to love God and love neighbor? Or is it something that's just going to help you focus more on your own self? There are lots of ways we can look at this. Solomon, given the circumstances he was in, now the king of Israel, he asked for wisdom so that he would be able to lead God's people. So in other words, it was for the good of others. And God blessed him because he wasn't being selfish. All the things that he could have asked for. But instead, he wanted to be able to serve the people of God. Now, this isn't quite the way it worked, obviously, because we know God's plan from the beginning. But think of it this way. God looked at his son one day, said, ask anything, what would it be? You know what he asked? For you. He asked for your soul. He asked that you would be able to be redeemed so that you could be in heaven for the rest of eternity. And he was willing to pay whatever that would require. The cost was high because your soul is so valuable. The cost was that he would have to become one of us. He who is God would have to take on a human nature. And while that obviously would be a profound act of humility, that wouldn't be enough. None of us was saved simply because Jesus took a human nature and was born of his mother. We are saved by what happened 33 years later, when he literally sold everything to the last drop of his blood for the salvation of our souls. What was most important to God? You and me. That's something that we can ponder for the rest of eternity and we'll never understand it. How could I, puny and sinful as I am, be that important to God? Because he loves you. It's just that simple. So in other words, you are the pearl of great price for Jesus Christ. You are that treasure that was buried in a field, and he found it. And he sold everything he had so he could come back and gain that treasure. Now let me ask the first question again. If God said to you today, ask for anything you want, what are you going to say? In other words, does recognizing how much God loves you, does that change the way that we're going to perceive things? Because remember, if you're in the state of grace, God dwells in your heart. He is right there, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dwelling in your soul. Remember, he purchased your soul at the price of his life. It's his. He dwells there because you're baptized. You're a member of Jesus Christ. In other words, he is the treasure that is hidden in the field of our own hearts and souls. Do we really want to find him there? Does it really matter? If somebody were to point out a field to you and say, you know what? Somewhere a couple of hundred years ago, I know that somebody buried gold and silver in that field. And I know it's never been found, but it's somewhere in the field. I don't know where. You're going to just shrug your shoulders and go, whatever. Been there a couple hundred years, it can stay there a couple hundred more. I don't care. Or you're going to start getting intrigued by this and say, you know, I might want to see if I can buy that field. See if I can find that treasure. And if you were really interested in finding it, how hard are you willing to work? In other words, you're going to go out there for an hour and kind of poke around and I guess I didn't find it, so it must not be here. Or are you going to say, no, I know it's here and I'm going to do anything I can to find this? Almighty God dwells in the depths of your being. How much are you willing to do to get there? Are you willing to ask for the wisdom to be able to know how to enter into your own self in order to enter into him? See, this is the beauty of this. He dwells in you and he wants you to dwell in him. This can obviously only happen spiritually. Physically, that's not possible. But we're not talking about something physical. We're talking about something that is infinite. We're talking about God, whom Scripture says is all in all. He is all. Again, we might look at that example that I used a few minutes ago and say, okay, well, if I knew that there was a treasure worth millions of dollars buried in a field, oh boy, would I be interested. A treasure worth millions of dollars is about this much compared to God. God is all. Millions of dollars is a little tiny bit. Because with God, we're not just talking money, we're talking God is all. So how much is that worth to you? Most people shrug their shoulders and walk away. Say, whatever. Isn't it amazing? We might actually be willing to spend all of our money and spend huge amounts of time trying to find a treasure out in the field. But when you have the infinite treasure within your own self, many of us aren't willing to even look. We just don't care. That's where we need to pray for the wisdom as a gift from God to be able to desire union with him, to be able to love him the way that he loves us. Because obviously the examples that our Lord is giving here aren't quite exact. He's talking about a hidden treasure. He's talking about a pearl of great value. We're not made for money. We're made for love. And so the only way that we are going to be willing to make whatever effort it's going to take to be able to find that buried treasure within ourselves is love. Do we love God enough? You see, because the other is selfish. If I find that treasure out in the field, I got a couple million bucks. It's all for me. God wants you to be able to love and be loved. That's infinitely greater than a couple of million bucks that you found out in a field someplace. But again, we tend to look at it and go, yeah, whatever. It's not, yeah, whatever. Because in heaven, nobody's going to care about silver and gold. No one's going to care about money or material things. The only thing that's important is heaven, is love. Because that's the only thing that is going to be there, is love. That's what this life is about now, is preparing ourselves that way, to learn how to love. That's why St. Paul could say in the second reading that all things work together for good for those who love God. Because you can recognize that whatever God is doing in your life is to be able to help you to love more. Whether it's purifying you of the selfishness that stands in the way of being able to love, or whether it's being able to open your heart to be able to receive more of His love, or whether it's putting you into a situation where you have to die to yourself in order to be charitable to others, to love more, whatever it may be, all things work together for good, for the greatest good, which is love. That's what God has for us. He's right there in the depths of your being, loving you infinitely. So again, we could say, if we want to put it into terms that don't quite work, although we can say it with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, He loves you with His whole heart and soul and strength, right there in you, loving you with His entire being. Someone loves you that much. Someone loves you so much that you literally are the treasure for which He was willing to give up everything to be able to obtain. And He doesn't want you in the sense of being a slave. He doesn't want to own you. He wants to love you. And He wants you to love Him. And He wants eternal life for you. See, that's the beauty of this. Because it's an act of love, remember, He gets nothing, zero, from all of this. If all of our souls love Him and go to heaven, He gets nothing from it. There is no gain for Him because He already loves perfectly. He can't love anymore. So it's not a matter of, oh, well, He did this so that He could get something. Go home and look in the mirror. Look what He got. I mean, really? This is what He got? Poor guy. St. Paul says He chooses the weak, He chooses the lowborn, He chooses those who are nothing. Yeah, I look in the mirror and say He chooses the most pathetic. Yeah, that's the way He works. But that's because He loves us. None of us can really look at it and say, well, of course He loves me because I'm the best. I'm the greatest, of course, you know. It's obvious, isn't it? No, it's not. That's why it was a buried treasure. It wasn't obvious. But He knew where the treasure was. And He was willing to make Himself the treasure for you and me. He was willing to allow Himself to be buried within our hearts, so that He could become our treasure. If we are willing to do for Him what He has done for us, that is, to make Him what's most important, to love Him the way that He loves us, which is exactly what He told us that we're supposed to do. Love one another as I have loved you. So He's given us the example. He's shown us what it's about. Remember, love is a relationship. It's a two-way street. It's wonderful that He loves us, but we can't just sit back and say, that's nice. He loves me. That's cool. Now we have to love Him back because it's a two-way street. We have to receive His love and we have to love Him. And the more that we love Him, the more that we're going to want to find that treasure. The more we're going to want to have union with Him. That's what this life is actually all about. The devil has managed to get in and try and twist things around and convince us that life is all about materialism. Life is all about pleasure. Life is all about money. Life is all about whatever. And none of those people who have all that are happy. None. And yet at the same time, the people who might not have any of that, but they've got the Lord, they're filled with joy. They found everything. In fact, isn't it interesting with some of the people, when they find that union with the Lord, they literally get rid of everything. They don't sell it, they give it away. I don't want this stuff anymore, it's in the way. I want to love him more. So we don't have to worry about all that other stuff. Because Jesus said one thing only is necessary. One. Not all these things that we filled our lives with that are just weighing us down. One thing only is necessary. That's him. He'll take care of everything if we're focused on him. But we need to love him. So maybe again, going back to that question where we started, God gave you the opportunity to ask for anything. What's it going to be? Solomon, given his circumstances, asked for the grace to be able to do what God had called him to do. So yes, you could ask for the grace to be the best husband or father, wife or mother, and whatever it might be. But we need to ask for the greatest gift. Because isn't that again what St. Paul told us in his letter to the Corinthians? There are all these gifts, but he said, I'll show you the way that's better than all. And that's love. The greatest, he said, is love. So if God's going to ask us today, or turn it the other way, maybe we can just ask him. Ask him for one thing, to love him. That's where we're going to find our fulfillment. That's where we're going to find our joy. And not just to love him a little bit, to love him with our whole heart and soul and strength. Because then we will find fulfillment. Then we will find peace. Then we will find joy. And we will bring that to everyone else. What a gift. What a grace. That's what he's waiting for. He is the treasure that's buried there. He is the pearl of great price. You are the pearl for him. He wants to be the pearl for you. Because it's a loving relationship. He loves you and gives everything for you. He wants you to love him. Give everything for him. That's not easy for us. But that's the call. That's our dignity. That's the blessing. So look at him and ask that question. If I could ask for one thing from him, what would it be?